Okay, Erev Tov, everybody. Chanukah Sameach. I guess tonight we're past the halfway point for Chanukah. That's actually, and we'll leave it at that. But I hope everybody's doing well. I want to welcome Leah Silberg, making her inaugural talk on the Torah in Motion Zoom network. Leah taught many years in high schools in the New York area. She's learned in Midrashet Lindenbaum, Stern, Matan. I guess all the, you know, the top woman places for Torah learning. And I was very happy to hear today, by the way, our daughter told us that, you know, GPATS is now expanding. They announced, I think, earlier today to a third year for people who would want to learn the graduate program in First Stern. So we've come a long way in women's learning. So I want to welcome her and want to thank Rabbi Meir Bruckheimer for sponsoring the shiur, because the shiur is going to be given by his daughter. So a proud father, lots of nachas from all of his children, and also in memory of his mother, Rachel Bat Yisachar, should have a long life and good health. And I guess perhaps very important or very special, Leah is planning to make Aliyah on the 12th of December. So this is the countdown of 10 days left in America and then on the plane to Israel. So wish you much hatzlacha with that. And very nice. Her five kids have beat her to it, and she's going to go join her kids in Israel. Vakasha, Leah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And first of all, I would like to acknowledge tonight's dedication. My father says is a memory of his mother, my grandmother, my mother, whose yahrzeit is on Yud Gimel Tevet, and then my grandmother from my mother's side also. So I guess, you know, what better way to spend Chanukah, in which it's one of the holidays that even though it's a time-bound, even though it comes with time-bound mitzvot, women are obligated in them because Achin Hayu Batuanes, it's an exception for women. And so it is my honor and pleasure to give a shiur on Chanukah in memory of three very exceptional women that were in my life. And so I thank you, my father, for sponsoring, and I also hope I give him nachat. Before I even begin or even share the screen, I just would like to give a little bit of a background. I've been experimenting with giving shiurim that I like to refer to as Sidur V'Sidra, because once I stumbled upon, while reading some works from Rav Amital, he found something that I didn't see when I looked it up, so I don't know which version he was reading, but he was reading from, it says the Rambam, I think, quoting a midrash that, Ula avdo b'chol levavachem. So we always say, how do you serve God with your heart? And the answer that they give is tefillah, which is, for many of us, very challenging. I know that I have hard time davening. I know even Rav Amital had been quoted as having said, you know, he davens three times a day in the hopes that, you know, every day of the year, in hopes that he'll catch the one time per year that it really is stark. But according to Rav Amital also, to serve God with all of your heart actually is Limud Torah as well. And so therefore, by trying to synchronize or to synthesize Limud Torah and Tefillah together, I find that it's like, it kind of brings together everything. And in some ways it makes our understanding of the Parsha more meaningful. In some ways it makes our tefillot more meaningful. And so that's how I like to roll. About this week in particular, so this week we really hit the jackpot when it comes to Kriyat HaTorah, as it is that Shabbos that we refer to and talk about, in which there are three Kriyot HaTorah, that we're going to be reading Parshat HaShavua, and we're going to be reading Torah reading for Rosh Chodesh, and we're going to be reading Torah reading for Chanukah. Now, this is where it always comes up to. This trifecta always leads to a nice halachic discussion about how do you know what order to read in? And so the famous saying is Tadir v'she'eino Tadir Tadir Kodem. Unlike our modern society, in which something that is special is always given precedence because it's special, according to halacha in Jewish world, we appreciate, we acknowledge, we celebrate the things that we do more readily, more usually. And so therefore, when we put it in order, we're going to be reading this week, as I said, we will read Parshat HaShavua, because technically Parshat HaShavua happens 52 times a year, even though only once a year will we be reading Miketz. And then second of all, we will be reading, then after that, we're going to read the Torah reading for Rosh Chodesh, because even though Rosh Chodesh Tevet happens only once a year, or this year twice a year, but Rosh Chodesh happens for every month, and so therefore it's the second most regular thing. And then after that comes Chanukah Torah reading, which interestingly enough, Chanukah is not clearly not in the Torah. So instead, it has been replaced with the psukim about the Chanukah and Mishkan, and that would be the third Torah reading. That were so three Sifrei Torah and three different things to read, and so we have lots to choose from when it comes to talking about this week's Parsha. I just would like to state this, Derech Agav, that while the rule about whatever is most regular, least special, comes first, that is not true when it comes to the Haftarah, because the Haftarah that's read is always related to the last thing we read from the Torah. So therefore, the Haftarah is always the most special event. And so this week, we will not be reading the Haftarah for Parshat Miketz, and we will not be reading the Haftarah for Shabbat Rosh Chodesh, but instead, we will be reading the Haftarah for Shabbat Chanukah. And so I think that really kind of gives me a lot of introduction, and then I'm ready now to share my screen. Can we see? I'm going to just click off the extra stuff that's on my screen right now. And, okay, so here we go. This week's share is entitled My Light and My Salvation, which comes from, when we say, actually in the month of Elul and through the Yamim Noraim into Sukkot, when we say Hashem Ori V'Yishi. And so it's called My Light and My Salvation. And you'll notice that in my title, it's actually not in the Tadir order, because even I put it in the order of Sidrat Miketz and then Shabbat Chanukah, because that's just super special. And I didn't have to touch upon Rosh Chodesh, but I will anyway. So,
Leah, yes. Do you mind making the screen a little bigger? I think it'll be easier for people to see.
So how do I make the screen bigger?
Don't ask me. You need the young people here. How do you widen the screen? There is a way to do it. I just don't know how.
Okay.
So if somebody wants to pipe up, that would be great.
Will I be able to see if someone types on?
Oh, no. They can actually unmute themselves and speak. Or if they put it in the chat box, I'll let you know. All right. In the meantime, hit Control Plus on your screen. Don't ask
hit
me.
Control Plus?
On your screen.
Better? Or you want more big?
More big, I think. I mean, I put it on the side. Yeah. Okay. That's better.
That works. Okay, so I would like to first talk a little bit about the tefillot that we're going to be saying this Shabbat and Sunday, in the sense that we say we add, this is the week where we add everything, like it's the big one, in that we add Ya'alev Yavo for Rosh Chodesh, and we're going to be adding Ya'al HaNisim for Hanukkah. And in case of need, like this is true about, let's start like this. For those of us who are familiar with saying Ya'alev Yavo, so we know that the prayer of Ya'alev Yavo is really recognizing all the things that we don't have that we wish God to remember for us in the place of it. So it's really about the special korban that we would be bringing, or the special avodah, the special services that we'd be doing in honor of Rosh Chodesh. And because we can't do it, we're asking God to kind of remember the way it used to be, and to perhaps, and to grant it to us in the future that we will have that opportunity again. On the other hand, on all 8 days of Chanukah, we recite Al Hanisim, which is celebrating and commemorating the miracles that occurred, in this case for Chanukah, and ends off with this idea of a kavush monat yemei Chanukah elu lehodot ulehalel shimcha hagadol, that these days of Chanukah were established in order that we should be able to give praise to God. It happens to be that very fitting, Ya'alev Yavo appears in our tefillot wherever avoda happens. So in Shmona Esrei, when we add Ya'alev Yavo, we add it to the bracha of Ritzei. And we say it in between the Ritzei, that God should be pleased with our tefillot and let us have the opportunity to do avodah again. And then we say Ad Ya'alev Yavo, and then we go on to V'techezena Einenu B'Shivcha Tzion Barachamim, and we hope that God will grant us the opportunity to see Hashem's Shechina reappear, reestablish itself in Yerushalayim. And it makes sense that it would go there because it's about the avodah, and again, the fact that we don't have korbanot, and yet here we are, that we hope Hashem will remember what used to be and grant us the opportunity to do it again. However, on the next bracha, Modim Anachnu Lach, that we give thanks to God for all the miracles, Shebechol Yom Imanu, Al Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu, we then add Al Hanisim, because again, it's about Lahodot Modim Va'al Kulam Yitbarach. So we say it at a point in davening where it's a bracha about giving thanks to God. In benching, it comes in Rachim. In benching, it's actually, in benching, it will go backwards in the sense that the first bracha is Nodelecha, or the second bracha is Nodelecha, and we give thanks to God. And it's at that point that we will add modim, because modim is again, sorry, that we'll add al hanisim, because that's about giving thanks to God. And then after that, during rachim, after we say rachim about, again, remembering what we used to have, uvenei Yerushalayim mir hakodesh b'merah b'yameinu, again, about the rebuilding of Jerusalem, that's when we will add ya'aleh v'yavoh. For people like me who have a hard time remembering what to add or not to add when benching, I'm usually completely out of sync remembering the last thing I said. I'm still trying to catch up on what day I am. I love benching because I can't go wrong. I just add everything. Basically, you add everything except for something about Yantav and you're good to go for this holiday. When it comes to Ya'aleh v'yavoh, it is a, we're referring to Avoda because it's a Torah holiday. And therefore, if you forget, you have to go back and say it again. It has a Torah quality to the mitzvah of adding, to the idea of adding Ya'aleh v'yavoh. And so if it's missing, you have to fill it in again. While the Rabbanan, the Chag the Rabbanan of Chanukah, if you forget to add Al Hanisim, so you don't have to go back and recite the whole prayer again. To me, this is interesting because after all, Ya'aleh v'yavoh, we're reciting about how we're missing things and how we miss doing the Avoda. And if you miss saying Ya'aleh v'yavoh, you have to go back and fill it in. While Aval Modim, which is about giving thanks and showing gratitude and feeling complete, if you miss it, you don't have to go back and say it again. And along those lines, before I switch to some Parsha action, comes, I thought of just another additional thing about Rosh Chodesh. The new moon, like the new year, this is coming from the Saks Koren Siddur, the new moon, like the new year, is understood in Judaism as a time of renewal and rededication, in which we pray for forgiveness and atonement and seek to begin again. In temple times, a special offering was brought, of which the Musaf prayer is a memory. The central blessing of the Amidah begins with a brief statement of the nature of the day, followed by a prayer for the restoration of the temple and its sacrifices. A biblical passage describing the Rosh Chodesh offering and a prayer that the new month be blessed for good. So it happens to be that on Rosh Chodesh we add Musaf. Musaf means an additional. So it's additional korban that used to be brought. We will say a tefillah about how, once again, we're missing the opportunity to bring that korban. And so instead we'll say Musaf. On the other hand, when a thought, just a brief thought that will give a good lead in here, a quote from Rav Avraham Steinman that was quoted in a book by Sivan Rahav Meir about Hanukkah. L'famim mekayimim mitzvot v'lo margishim klum. That many times we fulfill mitzvot and we don't really feel anything. We just do them. Lo chashim chayot. We don't really feel vitality. Hanukkah hu chag shel todah. Hanukkah is a holiday of giving thanks. Anu mefartim et hanisim umodim al kol davar. We detail, we actually go into detail about every aspect of the miracles, and we give thanks for every piece of it. Kedeshin nilmad tamid lahodot, that Hanukkah is an opportunity for us to always give thanks. Lasim liv l'chol prat v'chayim, to pay attention to every detail in life. L'chol chesed, for every kindness that is bestowed upon us. Kedesha hadvarim lo ya'avru aleinu b'li lahargish, that nothing would ever occur to us or pass us by without us feeling the gratitude and appreciation. And now, having said that, with the focus of Musaf and missing things that are there but not on the Ya'aleh v'yavoh aspect of Rosh Chodesh, and Al Hanisim being all about feeling fulfilled and giving thanks, at this point now, I would like to switch over to this week's Sidra of Miketz. Let me just turn my page for a moment. So here we go. This is a theory I had. I'm positing this. This definitely afterwards, people can surely argue with me and I will probably negate myself by the time I get to page 3. But I was wondering about using this dichotomy of Ya'aleh v'yavoh Rosh Chodesh and Al Hanisim and Hanukkah to kind of play together, to kind of examine the two stars of this week's Sidra, or shall I say, the two stars of the Mechirat Yosef narrative, one being Yosef and one being Yehuda. So I would like to say, let's just take a look at the way Yosef is, to examine Yosef on one side. I put him on the Ya'aleh v'yavoh side, the Rosh Chodesh side. Vayizkor Elohim et Rachel, vayishma eleha Elohim, vayistach et rachma, vatahar vatelet ben, vatomer asaf Elohim et serpati, vatikra shmo Yosef, lemor Yosef Hashem li ben acher. When Yosef is born, Hashem remembers Rachel and hears her prayers after she has been so miserable for so long. And she gives birth to this boy and says, ah, Hashem has put an end to my shame, to my downtime, but how the down I was feeling and my the poorness of my situation. And she calls this boy Yosef, that God should give me more. He should give me another son, an additional son. So the thing I noticed about Yosef and his name, besides the fact that it implies that what I have is not enough and that I would like more and that something is still missing, which brings me back to the Ya'alev Yavo feeling I was getting. It also, the words itself, Ya'alev Yavo asks us, Yizaker v'yishama v'yipakeid, that the idea that God should hear us and he should remember and he should grant us back this opportunity again. So I am going to posit that Yosef is my Ya'alev Yavo Jew. Someone who feels that comes into life as being almost a prayer for what isn't yet, but waiting for more. On the other hand, we have Yehuda. Batar od batilet ben batomer hapam ode et Hashem akim kar ashmo Yehuda. Yehuda, on the other hand, is just like the word lehodot, is the fact that when Leah gave birth to child number four, she says, this time I will give thanks to God, and therefore called him Yehuda, which basically comes from the root of lehodot, to give thanks, to acknowledge. And so I would posit that Yehuda is my Al Hanisim person. He is complete. He is all about gratitude. Everything about him is where we are now and how fortunate we are there. Yosef is always about something that is missing and how can we fix it. Now, this is interesting because to a certain extent, and I wrote a little chart here, Yosef is the tzaddik. Yosef himself is referred to by Chazal as Yosef HaTzaddik. And in some way, he does imply a certain amount of completion. While Yehuda, Yosef himself actually is mevatea tshuva. He's going to give people the opportunity to do tshuva, but he himself is a complete person. While Yehuda is the primary Baal tshuva, he's the one who does such public repentance. And so he did come from an empty place, but he is referred to, if you find anything upset about Yehuda, it's Yehuda le'olam tishev, that he will reign forever, that he will forever sit. So the fact is that he seems to be moving forward a very complete person. So Yosef HaTzadik, who is complete, will find himself in many different situations in which he faces incompleteness and waiting to fix things, whether he is mevatzea tshuva, he's trying to help his brothers fix what was missing in their lives, whether it's the fact that he will end up with the bichora, and that is at the expense of Reuven, who lost his. It was like, I don't know what's the word for it in sports, like there's a fumbled ball and someone has to catch it. It's going to be Yosef, because Bechora, no one is stepping up to be the real Bechor. Whether he's a man of vision, that he has chalomot, he's a Baal chalomot, he has visions, but they haven't been fulfilled in this week's Sedra especially, or even that he's the Mashbir, that he's a provider, that when there's no food in Egypt, so again, there's a Ra'av, so something is missing, and Yosef is going to try to fill it in. Yehuda, on the other hand, my Al Hanisim, happy to be where I am person, so he's a Baal Tshuva, he reaches the position he needs to be in. He's granted melucha, which is far more everlasting than bechora to a certain extent. He will become the official father of kingship. He is a man of initiative. He just takes a look at what's around him, for better or for worse, and acts upon it. He doesn't really go for long. He doesn't really look backwards as much as look forward and just deal with it now as it is, not long-term planning even. And he's also turns out to be a guarantor, that he is himself all that there needs to be in order for the story to continue. When he says to his father, you get this week's Sedra, you know, let Binyamin come with me, I will make sure nothing will happen to him. It's not even a question of being a crisis. Yosef is already complete. Yehuda is complete. He's going to fill it in. There's not going to be a problem. Nothing is going to be missing. Yehuda is going to take care of it. And just as an aside, generally, Yosef very much lines up with Mordechai in the sense that he's an international leader. He's both clearly he's a family leader in that he rescues his family during the Ra'av, and he is a Bechor in his family, but he is an Egyptian ruler. He is going to save the entire empire, while Yehuda is very similar to Boaz in the sense that he is a Jewish leader, that he's the one that our nation appreciates, and he will lead us personally as a national leader. Having said that, just a couple of little details about them, alike and different, about Yehuda and Yosef. So Uvnei comes from Devar Yamim, Uvnei Reuven, Bechor Yisrael, Kihu HaBechor, Uvechalalo Yitzu'e Aviv, Nitna Bechorato LiYosef Ben Yisrael, V'lo LiHityachet HaBechora. So this passage just tells us what I've said before, that when Reuven lost his right to be the Bechor, Yaakov skipped down 11 to 11 children to get to Yosef, instead of just going on to son number two, Yosef picked up the fumbled ball and he became the Bechora. And then the Pasuk continues, I guess it was Hey through, but I don't actually know what that is, so I apologize. It's probably Bet and Gimel. Ki Yehuda gavar be'achav l'nagid mimeno. And this tells us that Uhafaha Bechora li'Yosef. So Yehuda, who was stronger, broader, more established than everyone else, he became the leader of his brothers. I would like to say also something interesting is that both Yosef and Yehuda have two notable sons. Both of them, Yosef, we don't know how many sons he actually had. We only know the two that were counted as Shvatim. And for Yehuda, we know he had more than two sons. Two of them were lost, and one of them ends up getting counted, but they're not the spotlight sons. When Yosef has two sons, Yosef Yulad, Shnei Vanim, B'terem Tavoshnat Hara'av, Asher Yaldalo Osnat Bat Potifera, Kohen On, Vayikra Yosef Et Shem HaBachor Menashe, Ki Nashani Elohim, Et Kol Amali Ve'et Kol Beit Aviv, Et Shem HaShini Kara Ephraim, Ki Ephrani Elohim, Ve'eretz Oni. So Yosef has these two sons, of which he names about his losses, meaning about the family that he can't go back to and the land in which he suffers. These children are named in some way as a consolation because of what is missing in his life, but he's trying to console himself through these two sons. On the other hand, Batomer ma paratz alacha paretz vayikra shmo paretz v'achar yatzachiv asher al yado hashani vayikra shmo zarach. Here Yehuda's two sons are not named about anything missing or lacking. They are named purely for this burst of energy that one has, and zarach, like to shine. Like it's just they're two happy, celebrational sons. Let's see if I have a fancy word here. Meaning for growth and initiative. So again, I find that this works for me, that Yosef is this guy who is missing and talking about needs to fill things in. And while Yehuda is about being complete and being happy with what you have. As a little bit of a pun, as we know on Hanukkah and on Rosh Chodesh, we say, we recite Hallel. On Hanukkah, we recite Hallel Shalem. Usually it is traditional to recite, Hallel Chatzi Hallel, usually partial Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, but this year it's not an issue because once we're saying full Hallel, we say full Hallel. We don't switch it around because it's Rosh Chodesh. And a little play on words there because it's not Yosef's name, Mamish, but it's Yosef, the verb that his name is for, is found in Hallel that we recite. Yosef Hashem Alechem, Alechem Va'al B'nechem. Again, the word Yosef in this context meaning that God should add to you as a blessing. God should make you more. He should give more to you and your children. Again, Yosef being not about what you have, but about what you lack and that you should get more. That's not about what it is now. It's about filling in more, more. While Yehuda does appear by name in Hallel, Haita Yehuda Lekodesho Yisrael Mamshalotav. It's about that moment in Yitziat Mitzrayim where Yehuda earned his kingship, where the Shevet Yehuda earned, became sanctified as leaders and to rule over Bnei Yisrael. And that usually involves usually the Midrash fills that in, whether it's about Nachshon ben Aminadav, who jumped first into Yamsuf in order that the waters would split, or whether it was the entire tribe. Again, this is a celebration of initiative, a celebration of just like, you did the right thing, you believed, and you did it. So again, there's this aspect of Yosef, which is something missing, we want more, and Yehuda just does what, just as is. Finally, something they have in common also is that traditionally we're told that we're looking to the future for Mashiach ben Yosef, the Redeemer, son of Yosef, and then, or the anointed one, son of Yosef, who will be a Redeemer. And then there's Mashiach ben David, the Redeemer, who is the son of David. And we know even with this, Mashiach ben Yosef traditionally is not necessarily, he's going to be the one who will set things up a little bit, but he's not going to make, he might not make it to the end. Mashiach ben Yosef potentially could expire. He's a precursor, but he's not necessarily going to survive the Battle of Gog and Magog and everything. While Mashiach ben David is the exact Yehuda Lo'olam Teshev. The Mashiach ben David will represent the time of V'haya Hashem L'melech HaKol HaAretz V'yom Ha'hu Yeh Hashem Echad U'Shmo Echad. That everyone will know that God is there. It'll be a time of completion. And in regard to this, I'm just going to read something from Rav Midan about the idea, again, of things that they have in common, but also things that make them different. So So it should be remembered that stories of selfless love for Eretz Yisrael are found only among the children of Yehuda, who demand to receive Hebronin to conquer it, and the children of Yosef, who claim for themselves an additional inheritance. Yehoshua also makes mention of the love of the women who inherited the land, the daughters of Tzlofchad of the tribe of Manasseh, and Iftsa, the daughter of Kalev from the tribe of Yehuda. Let us conclude, because this is from a broader speech of his, with two messiahs, Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. The image of these two figures may be seen in Yehoshua as Mashiach ben Yosef and David as Mashiach ben David. The primary task of the king is to destroy the seed of Amalek. The war against Amalek was initiated by Yehoshua, who is from the tribe of Ephraim in Rephidim, and was successfully completed by David, unlike Shaul, who failed in this respect. Yehoshua, who initiated the war, was ultimately the conqueror of Eretz Israel. David, who concluded the war, was ultimately the conqueror of Jerusalem, may be established and dealt speedily in our days. And so here we have, just for me to kind of give a conclusion on this, my theory of tying in part of this week's Sedra to to the tefillot that we'll be saying on that day. So this idea that when we say Ya'alevi Yavo, we kind of acknowledge that something's missing and look towards the future. To a certain extent, Yosef is that filler. He's the one who is named for let there be more. Just like the idea of Korbanot we don't bring, or even Musaf and Yosef, the thing that we want to add, to it. Yeah, he's going to come to fill things in. As opposed to Yehuda, who's all about celebrating what there is, and enjoying the moment and just making the most of it. Now, I just thought that would be an interesting way to think about it. Although at this point now, I will just, when it comes to, both of them are leaders. Both of them bring with them salvation for the world, or salvation for Egypt at the time, or salvation for the Jewish people. But even within the story, I have, this is a beloved midrash. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman patach, Yanochi yadati et hamachshavot. I put a little star by that because I put the full quote in. Ki anochi yadati et hamachshavot asher anochi choshev alechem ne'om Hashem. Machshavot shalom v'lo l'ra'a latet lachem acharit v'tikva. For I am mindful of the plans I have made concerning you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for disaster, to give you a hopeful future. Happens to be at the time that at the time of Mechirat Yosef, at the time of post-Mechirat Yosef, when Yehuda leaves his family because of the bad state of events there, that everyone is miserable. The Midrash Chazal already start picking up on the fact that while things look dire, God is already, while things might not look good, right? It's plans for your welfare, not for disaster, to give you a hopeful future. So he says, Shvatim hayu asukim b'michirato shel Yosef, at the time that the tribes were busy selling Yosef. Yosef haya asuk v'sako uv'ta'anito. And Yosef was a miserable human being sold and being led from one misery to the next. He was in mourning. Reuven haya asuk v'sako v'ta'anito. Reuven was also in mourning. After all, he came, besides feeling horrible about switching his father's bed and repenting for that already, he also was aghast to find that Yosef was not in the pit and had disappeared, so to speak, and so he was in mourning. And Yaakov himself was also busy mourning. After all, Yosef was no longer there. And Yehuda was busy trying to find a wife among the Canaanite women, and then the rest of the drama that ensued from there. V'akadosh baruch hu haya osek borei oro shel melech hamashiach. But at that moment, when everything looked like it was so awry and it was so bad and this is as low as it's going to go, God was already creating the light of Mashiach, the light of redemption. When Yosef left his family because of how bad the situation was, and he went out to go lose himself among the Canaanite women, which looks like the lowest it's going to get for anybody from the family of Abraham. The term tachil yalada kodem shalo nolad mishabed havishon nolad goel haacharon. Meaning at that moment, God was already preparing for the ultimate Mashiach, ben David, ben Yehuda, generations, generations, generations before that. When we think it's at its worst, God is already planting the seed for the light of redemption, for the light of salvation. And so with this, I am going to switch over from my dichotomy about the Sedra into, I'm probably going to negate everything I said. So this is idea number one. Sometimes I do a couple of musings. And so this idea number one is the idea of the fact that Vinko, whatever Yosef or Yehuda represent in terms of my model of Lahodot and the model of to fill in what's missing, either way, both of them at this moment of the lowest time in our history will also come already the seeds that will lead us to our ultimate salvation. And with that, we're also going to transfer into a light theme. This week's Haftarah, Roni v'Simchi Bat Zion, we should be celebrating because Hashem's going to return His Shekhinah to us. So it comes from Zechariah, and it's painting a scene of the ultimate Beit HaMikdash experience, or at least when they're trying to rebuild the second one, but it might have visions beyond that. One of the things that is mentioned in this week's Haftarah is Et Avdi Tzemach, which we know from Tfilat Tzemach David Avdecha, that is taken to be an offshoot of which could be referring to Mashiach, whether it's Mashiach ben Yosef or Mashiach ben David, we're not quite sure. And then, again, for it's chosen as the Haftarah because of the Ra'iti v'hinei menorat zahav kula v'gula al-rosha, v'shiva neroteha aleha, shiva v'shiva mutzakot v'neirot asher rosha. So the mention of a menorah also qualifies it as the Haftarah for Hanukkah. And then the famous quote, which is just beautiful and worth acknowledging in and of itself, lo b'chayel v'lo b'koach ki im b'ruchi amar Hashem b'chot. So that it's not by might and not by power, but by spirit of God, meaning that, which is exactly the idea we said on the previous page in regard to the Sedra. It's not what appears on the playing field. It's not about what people plan to do or even what it seems to be is happening on a natural level. It's what God's spirit, it's the power of God that's going to make it happen. Now, to a certain extent, we say, of course, about Hanukkah, when we talk about the fact that it was a few against the mighty, and yet we were able to be victorious. And so that's the Haftarah, which we said was special. So here we have about lighting a menorah. We get the light and we get our salvation with the noticing of the word Tzemach. And now I'm going to switch into light about each holiday, each thing that we're celebrating on Shabbat. K'shenichnesu ha-yivanim la-hechal, tim'u kol ha-shmanim shebe-hechal, u'kishagavra malchot beit chashmonai v'nitzchum batku v'lo mat'u ela pach echad shel shemen, שהיה מונח בחותמו של כהן גדול, ולא היה בו, אלא להביק יום אחד. So when the Yevanim find, when the Kohanim and the Hashmonaim were able to get into the Beit HaMikdash, and so they were able to purify it, but they only found one small sealed kad shemen, I guess whatever that is, of oil. And so there was only one pure container of oil, I suppose, would be enough to light the menorah, which again, in the Beit HaMikdash, they lit all the candles at once. It wasn't a gradual thing like on a Chanukiah, but they were able to light the menorah, to put light back into the Mikdash. And a miracle occurred that it lasted for 8 days. Now, truthfully, the 8 days is a little bit random because, after all, it really lasted until new pure oil was processed enough, was brought to the Mikdash again. So they were able to get new purified olive oil so that they can continue to light the menorah, meaning this light did not give up. And you say, don't let the light go out. That is exactly how our Hanukkah miracle occurred, in that the light did not go out. And as children everywhere should consider, if it would have taken 25 days for the new oil to be provided, the menorah would have remained lit for 25 days and we would have had 25-day holiday. But instead, now we have an 8-day holiday. So 8 days of light to celebrate the fact that this light was returned, this light and this kedusha, this tahara, was returned to the Mikdash. L'shana acheret kiva'um v'asa'um yamim tovim b'halel u'v'hoda'ah. And so it was established to be days of thanks and praise to God, 8 day holiday. What does light have to do with Rosh Chodesh? Here we go. This is coming from Shemot Rabbah. Another interpretation this month for you. That is what is written, that the righteous shall flourish in his days and multiply peace until the moon is no more. Yifrach b'yamav tzadik. Until the Holy One, blessed be He, does not bring out Israel from the land of Egypt. It was a hint that kingship did not come to them for 30 generations, as it is written. This month for you shall be the head of the month. A month is 30 days, and your kingship is 30 generations. The moon begins to give light on the first of Nisan, and all the more so, it gives light until 15 days. And then its disk becomes full. And then from 15 to 30, its light diminishes. On the 30th, it cannot be seen. Which, by the way, is worth saying about Rosh Chodesh also in my original thought about Yosef, that Rosh Chodesh is about missing and waiting for it to come. Although, in all truth, I guess Hanukkah was also about missing oil and missing light. But let's just go with that. And then I'm just going to not read the whole thing, but I will say that it takes 15 generations from Abraham. Accordingly, is Israel 15 generations from Abraham to Shlomo HaMelech. Abraham began to give light, as was written, who has roused the righteous one from the east, he shall call him to his foot. And they read Ha'ir, roused as Ha'ir, to give light. And then it continues on to how Yitzchak is the source of light, or Zeruah Tzadik, and Yaakov gave light, and the light of Israel will be for fire. And then after this, Yehuda, Peretz, Ram, Aminadab, Nachshon, Salmon, Boaz, Oved, Yishai, David. And then when Shlomo came, the disk of the moon became full, and Shlomo sat on the throne of God as king, meaning it was so clear that Shlomo was a representative of God that we were really up to almost that point. It really was almost there. But then, though, unfortunately, I'm going to skip a little bit. Let me see where I'm going. And regarding Solomon, behold, the disk of the moon became full. And from there, the kings began to diminish and go. And the son of Solomon was Rehoboam. And the son of Rehoboam was Abiyah, and his son Asa, Yehoshaphat, Yoram, Ahaziah, Yoash, Amatsiah, Uziah, Yotam, Ahaz, Hizkiah, Menashe, Amon, Yoshiah, Yehoyakim. And at that point then, when Tzidkiah came, the eyes of Tzidkiah were blinded. Not only was the last king not a source of light, but he himself could not see, lacking the moon's light. And all of those years, despite Israel sinning, the patriarchs would pray for them and make peace between Israel and God. As was said, let the mountains lift up the peace for the people. And there were no mountains other than the patriarchs. As was said, listen, mountains, to the argument of God. And until when were the patriarchs praying for them? Until Tzidkiah lost his eyes and the temple was destroyed. As was said, and multiply peace until the moon is no more, until 30 generations that Israel had kingship. From that hour until now, who makes peace for Israel? God. As was said, may Hashem lift his face to you and grant you peace. So here we have a connection between Rosh Chodesh and salvation, and Rosh Chodesh and Mashiach, in the sense that since Malchut Beit David, or since we know that the Jewish people are like the moon, but we say that the Malchut Beit David is like the Levana as well, is like the moon as well. And that kind of explains why when people say Kiddush Levana, when it's time to bless the moon in the early part of the month, people turn to each other and say, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. You might wonder, what does that have to do with anything with the moon? But again, the moon of the light of the moon reminds us of the redemption, because that's the way the moon is like King David, and the 30 days was the way it went the first time around. And I guess we're waiting now, to a certain extent, I'll say metaphorically, in the dark. For when the moon starts to shine again, that will be the time of Mashiach. And interestingly enough, until that happens, God is our source of peace. He always is our source of peace. And at that point, people wish each other shalom aleichem. Aleichem shalom. This idea of light and salvation we say during Hanerot Halalu, when we light our Hanukkah candles. Hanerot Halalu shanu ma'afikim, ala nisim ve'ala nifla'ot ve'ala tshuot ve'ala milchamot shasita la'avotinu bayamim ma'ein, bazman hazeh al yedei kohanecha ha'kadoshim, v'chol shmonat yimei Chanukah, Hanerot Halalu kodeshim. The light of these lights are holy. And so these are not lights that we use for menial work or for our own purpose. These are lights in which we celebrate the light of God, the light of redemption. It gives us time to be mindful and consider them. That we give thanks and we praise God for his miracles and his Yeshua, and the fact that he saves us, so the salvation. So we say as we look at our Hanukkah candles, we also remember salvation, and we remember, and we think about the ultimate Yeshua, the one that was and the one will be. I'm going to take a little sneak peeky at the Haftarah for next week, just to bring in a little bit of resolution for the Mechirat Yosef story that will tie in some Mechirat Yosef resolution coupled with light and salvation. And here we go. Next week's Haftarah will tell us, V'ata ben adam kachot ha'itzachad uktov alav li'yehuda, uliv yivnei Yisrael chaveirav, Lukach Eitz Echad Uchtov Alav Liyosef Eitz Ephraim L'Chobi Yisrael Chaverav U'Karav Otam Echad El Echad L'cha V'Eitz Echad V'Hayu L'Achadim B'Yadecha. As we know, next week, the brothers will get back together again. Yosef will reveal himself and they will all live, so to speak, happily ever after. And we're told by the Navi Yechezkel that this is also what God says will happen in the future. Though the Jewish people in the time of Rechavam were split into two different kingdoms, one day everyone will be together again. I mean, there will be in the time the ultimate redemption, that leadership will be united under Yehuda, regardless of whether Yosef is the Bechor or regardless of the fact that there is a Mashiach ben Yosef. Ultimately, the kingdom of Israel will be no more, and we'll go back to having everyone in the kingdom of Judah, and we'll all be under Mashiach ben Yehuda. And with that comes a Rav Meidan in Hebrew that will tie in the end of the story. Im kol kavanotav atovot shel Yosef l'sayeh le'echav l'shuv b'tshuva, with all of Yosef's good intentions to help his brothers do tshuva, kashe lehitalim min hatmuna hakasha, it's very difficult to ignore this hard image in our mind, Shabbat Yosef ben Rachel, in which this image of which Yosef, son of Rachel, Shalit Mitzrayim Hanoksha, this strict ruler of Egypt, Dorish la'anish et Binyamin ben Rachel, alo avel v'chapo, that he tries to punish, he seeks to punish Binyamin, son of Rachel, on something that he wasn't even guilty of. Yehuda ben Leah, but Yehuda, the son of Leah, Moser alav nafsho, he is willing to sacrifice himself, lahatzilo, to save Binyamin. Yehuda ba al scharo, ka'avor dorot rabim. Yehuda will be rewarded ultimately after many generations, ve'ich sheniba achia hashiloni. At the time when achia hashiloni, nevi o shal Shlomo, the navi of Shlomo, says the following prophecy, al pilug hamamlacha, about the splitting of the kingdoms. And again, the splitting of the kingdoms will be between Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, and Yerovaam, who is from the Shevet Ephraim, who will ultimately be the leader of the kingdom of Israel. Vayitpos Achia b'salma hachadasha asher alav v'yikra'eh hashneim asar kra'im. And Achia Shiloni grabs on the cloak of Yerovaam, and he grabs onto this new cloak, and he tears it into 12 pieces. Vayomer liYerovam, kach lecha asara kra'im. Yerovam, you take 10 pieces, 10 of the shreds of the jacket. Ki ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, hineni korea et hamamlacha miyad Shlomo. Behold, I am tearing the kingdom from Shlomo. V'natati lecha et asara hashvatim. And so I am going to give you 10 tribes. And one tribe will be for him, for Shlomo, for Machot Beit David, L'ma'and Avi David, in the merit of David. I'm not going to take everything away from David's family, because David himself merited to have kingship forever. And in the merit of Yerushalayim, who I have chosen from all the tribes of Israel. As you're reading this, you might wonder, Hasalma krua l'shnei masar kraim. The cloak was teared into 12 pieces. Asara kraim nitanim liYerovam ve'achad ben David. And so 10 pieces were given to Yerovam, and one was given to Rehovam, a descendant of David. Umalagabe hakara hashnei masar. But wait a minute, weren't there 12 pieces? Here there's 10 to one and 10, one to the other. So where's the 12th piece? L'miyi natin. Who is that being given to? Nir'esh sheyesh l'kroa tapasukach. Therefore we must consider reading the pasuk this way. One tribe will be for Rehovam in honor of, in the merit of David. And then we use that pasuk again, that piece of the pasuk again. And one tribe will be for him. And one additional tribe will be his in honor of Jerusalem. Shnei Ashvatim nitanim efa l'Shlomo ben David. So two tribes will be going to Shlomo's son. Shevet Yehuda hanitan l'man David. Shevet Yehuda, who is given because of David, which clearly Yehuda is the family of David, Shlomo, Rehovam. V'shevet nosaf l'man Yerushalayim, and an additional tribe in honor of Jerusalem. Shevet Zeh, hu Shevet Binyamin. So that additional tribe is Binyamin. Hacholek im Shevet Yehuda Yerushalayim. That is the tribe, actually, that when Yerushalayim is on the border of both Binyamin, the territory of Binyamin and Yehuda. So that is the one city that is split by two tribes, and the two tribes are Binyamin and Yehuda. And so therefore, the assumption by Rav Meidan is, and it's true, that Malchut Beit David, or the Mamlechet Yehuda, will have Binyamin, two tribes, Binyamin for Jerusalem and Yehuda for David. In Yerushalayim tuchulach ben Mamlechet Yerovam leMamlechet Rechavam, because after all, if Jerusalem would be split among the two kingdoms, hilot hivater ir biraj, she wouldn't be a capital anymore. Hitiyat ir kitana, it would be a very small city. Yerushalayim hamechuleket shel erev milchemet sheshet hayamim, the way it was in the time when it was split, in the time before the Six-Day War, in which the Jordanians had power over a large portion of Jerusalem. And so even though Jerusalem was ours, it was a very small city, and it was very hard to, you know, what is it that Naomi Shemer says? It wasn't a complete place. Binyamin ozev et beito hativi bekerev shiftei bnei Yosef. So Binyamin, who you would think would belong with the tribes of Joseph, because after all, they all come from Rachel, Yikimi Malchut Ephraim, so he would belong with Yerovam, but over li yodafka im shevet Yehuda. Instead, he ends up being lumped together with Yehuda and with the kingdom of Judah. Kasheshalo lirot et Yehuda ha-choveket Binyamin ba-armono shel ha-shalit ha-mitzvit. Difficult not to imagine to yourself as hearing this, that you're not thinking of how Yehuda embraced, hugged Binyamin to protect him when they were in the palace of the Egyptian ruler. And he refuses to release him at any cost, El mul Yosef HaTzadik, into the hand of that rule, Shalit, into the hand of the Egyptian ruler. Elohei Historia, the God of history, Gamal LeYehuda al Mesiruto LeBinyamin, he gave the reward ultimately to Judah in his sacrifice for Binyamin, the Etzem Kiyum Moshel Yerushalayim, in the very essence of the existence of Jerusalem, Iram HaMishutefet, the city that both Binyamin and Yehuda share, Ki'ir Mikdash Hashem Umachuto, the city of the Mikdash of God and the center of his kingship, kingdom on earth. Yerushalayim Amura lahazkir lanu et ha-hadadit ha-mufla'a shenotra b'tashtita. Yerushalayim is there to remind us of the ultimate, I guess, mutuality, the support, this wonderful relationship that is that was created at its foundation. Arivuto shel Yehuda klapei Binyamin, the responsibility, the guaranteeing of Yehuda in about Binyamin. He amura lahatzkir lanu gam et godel kocha shel tshuva. It's also there to remind us of the strength of repentance, hamechila betocha gam tikkun, that contains within it also corrections. Tshuvato shel Yehuda al mechirat Yosef. Yehuda's tshuva for mechirat Yosef, that Yehuda proved that they regretted what they did and put his money where his mouth is. In other words, here we have now, in addition to mechirat Yosef's story, we have the ultimate redemption again, meaning that with the story here sets the tone, the Yosef's behavior, sorry, Yehuda's behavior in teaming up to protect Binyamin now gives us the whole picture of why Yerushalayim is what it is and what it was in those days. That Yehuda and Binyamin are together in the Mikdash Hashem because in the land of Mikdash Hashem, because after all, Yehuda was the one who protected Binyamin, who showed brotherhood at the time. Which of course leads me to a very famous Shir HaMa'alot, Tehillah 122, Shir HaMa'alot LeDavid, Samachti Be'omrim Li Beit Hashem Nelech, which after all, I can only imagine that the Hashmonaim felt that way too. A song of the sense of David, I rejoice when they said to me, we are going to the house of the Lord. I can only imagine that the Hashmonaim probably said this as they came into the Beit HaMikdash, as they went up to Yerushalayim and went to be Metaher the Beit HaMikdash. Omdot Hayu Raglinu B'Sha'arayach Yerushalayim. Our feet stood inside your gates, O Jerusalem. Yerushalayim ha-benuya ki'ir shechubra la-yachdav. Jerusalem built up a city knit together. Shasham alush vatim shifteya idut l'Yisrael l'hodot l'shem Hashem. To which tribes would make pilgrimage, the tribes of the Lord, as was enjoined upon Israel, to praise the name of the Lord. Kishama yashvu kis'ot l'mishpat kis'ot l'beit David. There the thrones of judgment stood, thrones of the house of David. Sha'alush shalom Yerushalayim shlayu al-habayich. Pray for the well-being of Jerusalem. May those who love you be at peace. Yehi shalom b'chelech shalva ba'armanotayech. May there be well-being within your ramparts, peace in your citadels. Laman achai v'reaya dabra na shalom ba'ach. For the sake of my kin and friends, I pray for your well-being. Laman beit Hashem Elokeinu abaksha tov lach. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I seek your good. So again, here we have it. We have Yerushalayim, which represents this ultimate redemption. And again, I have this vision of the same way we see the 1967 pictures of the soldiers who stood staring at the Kotel in disbelief, the same way I can imagine the Hashmonaim did. But what is this city? The city is an Ir Shechubra LaYachdav. So we can see already a hint in this knitted up city. Amar Rav Yoshua ben Levi, Yerushalayim habnuyat, Ir Shechubra LaYachdav, Ir Shehi Osa, Kol Yisrael Chaverim. This is a city that brings everyone together. Everyone is friends, we would say, in our colloquial terms, although in this case, it's really something halachic about the fact that it makes everyone trustworthy to each other. People don't have a reason to separate from each other or not eat meals with each other. Yerushalayim binds people together. Yerushalayim, the city that represents Yehuda, saying, I will take responsibility for Binyamin. Yehuda, who repents before Yosef and says, we made a mistake with his brother, and so now we're going to correct it with this one. This is a city that is named, that brings everyone together, that the Shvatim come together to serve God there, and it comes with a certain element of peace. We hope for the peace of Jerusalem and the peace of those who love Jerusalem. And then finally, Yerushalayim Orosh Shel Olam. Yerushalayim is the light of the world. Shene'emar, V'halchu Goyim La'oreich, that nations will follow your light. Umihu Orash al Yerushalayim, and who is the light of Jerusalem? If Jerusalem is the light of the world, who is it that lights up Yerushalayim? Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Dichtiv v'haya secha Hashem l'or olam. That God is the light of Jerusalem. And so again, how appropriate is this? Jerusalem, the city that represents the conclusion, the correction of the story of Mechirat Yosef, is a story of salvation. And it comes to the brothers. It's a story of, ultimately, it's the story that of Mechirat Yosef is the story that leads us to the blessing of coming back and getting the land of Israel, just as Hashem had promised Abraham at the Brit Bein HaBetarim, that first they will have to go somewhere else. So that process is what begins, that they will be going down to Mitzrayim in order to ultimately be enslaved there and ultimately come back and claim the land. And Yerushalayim, the city that represents the brothers coming together, and the light that is brought kilo b'koach, kilo b'chayalki in beruchi, that the light that comes out of Yerushalayim, the light where the Beit Mikdash was, the light where the Hashmonaim lit the menorah. And so that brought me to the end of the sheet. And I'm going to take off the share, so in case there were comments being typed, I can see them.
Want to take a look in the chat box?
I am looking at the chat box. I'm just trying to scroll up.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you so much. That was great. Thank you.
Thank you. iPad. So people can zoom in. Yosef's naming of son seems similar to Moshe. That is a very good point. That's a very good point. Ironically, it's Moshe who's talking about missing Egypt, missing his family ties. But yes, that's very true. Also, if it's nice, Yosef needing seeking extra, not this one. Yes, that's always two. That's always filling in with us. Whereas Yehuda completes the stores with lost, lost his sons, attains two more. Excellent. Isn't another resolution of the Jewish story very sad? Yes, indeed it is. That's why we say about the Asara Harugei Malchut that happened because of the fact that the Mechirat Yosef, that because they were Ganav Ishu Mecharo, then we had to lose our 10 great sages. And so that is half a true, but I guess Shuvim Panim LaTorah, we have the right to enjoy Hanukkah and read the story and read the parts that we like that make us happy today, because it's Lehodot Ulehallel. Have I left you stunned, or would anyone else like to pop in with something?
Anybody feel free to say something? Okay, I'm just pondering the Alan Nisim, if I'm an Alan Nisim Jew or Yalav Yavo. Of course, my name is Yehuda, so I don't know. And your name is Leah. So it also works in.
But that, sure, nothing happens for no. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. Okay. If anybody, nobody else has any comments, want to thank you again. And okay. and wish you a matzah tzlacha on your aliyah.
I will be back. I'm making aliyah, but I'll be back and forth for the States. It's not like I'm not turning around, and I'll still be on this time zone sometimes.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm gone, but not forgotten.
Yeah. We get lots of people from Israel coming to our classes. I'm actually quite impressed how many people we get from Israel.
Well, I heard wonderful things. Torah in Motion really was very much a lifeline for people during COVID. Gave people a Beit Midrash and a community in their homes. I call it kabod.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Yes. Okay. We try whatever we do our best. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. is my shiur on the sitter. We'll be finishing up a little while in leasing, but not along the lines you were talking about. And then next week, of course, we begin with Rabbi Liebtag's class on Sunday morning, also on Hanukkah. And then on Tuesday, we're actually starting a series. Jeremy England, who was a physicist, we'll be giving a three-part series. I think it's on the website, but we haven't really announced it yet. Three-part series with science and Torah, more philosophical, scientific questions, not like how do we reconcile Bereshit with science, not those type of questions. The more broader questions. Anyway, we'll send out details, but that's going to be beginning this Tuesday for 3 weeks. Just to let you know, sort of our new series. And okay, we look forward to seeing you soon. And everybody have Shabbat Shalom, Hanukkah Sameach, and Chodesh Tov, a triple header, as we said it this year, right? Maybe I didn't say it in the right order, right? I guess it's Shabbat Shalom, Chodesh Tov, and Hanukkah Sameach, right? If you're going to do the orders of Creator Torah. Okay, and thank you again, Rabbi Bruckheimer. Thank you very much. Hope you enjoyed it. I think there's something with your mic, by the way, when it's on, it echoes. That's why I think, but whatever. Okay. Laila Tov, everybody.